Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking Hollow Man. Now, we've tried to do this on and off, we've talked about it for a long time, but we finally got to the Kevin Bacon CGI penis movie that everyone has been clamoring for. It's weird, it's kooky, it's incredibly bizarre, and it's, you know, Oliver Hoven, so it's kind of fun and stupid. This also will lead us into our Patreon episode. This movie stars Elizabeth Shue, so we're doing Adventures in Babysitting, the original. Thanks for subscribing, thanks for listening, thanks for supporting us, and thanks for joining that Patreon if you have not already. Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Nick, and come see Cineprob.
Son of a bitch.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking about Kevin Bacon's dick. I mean, we're watching Hollow Man by Paul Verhoeven. I'm Nick Hoffman, Riff Runs in a Problem, panelist on Myopia, Defend Your Childhood. Also, fuck you. Listen to Required Reading. We are literally in the top 25 podcasts for all of Israel for some reason. So listen to that. And on panel we have
author Matthew W. Quinn, who is not going to be showing off any skinless bacon anytime soon.
Girl.
You did to me that one night in Vegas. Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to popdose.com. And, I'm not going to make a joke here. This movie was weird.
Yeah, so we watched Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, it's Paul Verhoeven.
So after nailing Starship Troopers, he's like, you know what I'm going to do next? Classic literature. So his erotic version of Shakespeare failed. And then he went to The Invisible Man. This stars Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Shue. And because Clinton was still kind of in office, because this came out in 2000, Joey Slotnick was allowed to be in a movie, and Greg Grunberg was allowed to be in a movie.
And Josh Brolin, back before
he was...
He was
Santa.
Yeah.
Before he was discovered by a cinematic universe.
Was he married to Barbara Streisand at one point?
I thought he still was.
I thought that was his father. James Brolin, not Josh Brolin.
I... Don't know one way or the other.
This is Hollywood. It could be both of them.
There you go. Matt, do you want to give us a plot description?
Okay, so Kevin Bacon is a hard-driving, insufferable genius who's working on a way to make people invisible for the military, and they threaten to cut off his money because they don't think he's getting it done fast enough, although he actually has. He's been lying to them for some reason. So he decided to do what every insufferable genius in a movie does, an experiment on himself. Yeah. And then things go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically if Elon Musk turned invisible and was proud of his penis, that's this movie.
I'd say Norman Osborn, you know, the other guy who experiments on himself and
There's been a lot.
Goes bonkers.
There's been a lot in movies and in literature of people who experiment on themselves.
I don't know if I'd call any of this literature, but I'll go along with you. Yeah, so he plays a character named Sebastian Cain, which is where we need to start. By the way, apparently the easy part is making them go invisible. The hard part is making them turn uninvisible, which they describe as entering the quantum plane because...
Quantum phase. I'm having some sort of Ant-Man moment here.
they want to sound like Michael Crichton is what they want to do.
Yes, this stinks to Michael Crichton, which we should start with because we have an escaped character from Congo right at the beginning. There's a gorilla.
Yes.
This gorilla is nothing but a Disney reject CGI nonsense character.
The one that eats the rat.
That was a gorilla? I thought it was a cat.
No, that was a gorilla.
There is a goddamn gorilla running around.
Because there's a lot of invisible critters in the Zoo of Horrors down there.
There is. I mean, the first thing we get is Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Shue, who are now lovers, which we'll get to. We have Sebastian Cain, who is Kevin Bacon. And, again, he used to date Linda. Who is Elizabeth Shue, which matters.
Yeah, there's kind of a love triangle thing going on here.
Everyone else in this movie, as far as the cast, doesn't matter. I know the general who headed up the project was the president in one season of 24, I think the revival.
Yeah, and his name is Willem Devane.
Yes.
And he was in previous episodes, Space Cowboys, as the head of mission control with all them teeth he has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Willem Devane is one of these character actors that's around. He always plays, you know, he's hit 60 and now he's just a toothy man. I don't know. He's also in future episodes, Payback, with Ben Affleck. And he's in The Marathon Man back in the 70s. Is it safe?
I know about The Marathon Man. He was in that?
He is, back in 76 or whatever. He's also in one of the last Hitchcocks, The Family Plot.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, there you go.
You brought up 24. I was wondering if they're going to try and hook up jumper cables to Kevin Bacon's bacon to stop the terrorists, but they can't find it.
Well, at one point they do electrocute him very late in the movie, so hey.
And you're right, he is in 24. Live Another Day.
Oh, yes, the revival that they did for all of 12 episodes.
Yeah, he's also in McCabe and Mrs. Miller. This guy's a good actor.
You gotta live another day.
I don't know what you're doing there, Matt.
He's doing the Madonna song from Die Another Day, in fact.
Okay.
And he's playing it on a banjo, based on his hand gesture.
My air ukulele.
I was about to say, it's more of a ukulele sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm rocking out. I can't headbang because my hair is too short.
Well, you need luscious.
Well, we're going to let you go on here for a second.
My hair grows long, it turns into a frullet. It doesn't mosh well either.
What you need, good sir, is gel.
Exactly. Okay. So, as mentioned a second ago, we have, what is her name? Abby Good Gorilla or whatever from Congo.
Amy.
Amy. Good Gorilla. Amy, Good Gorilla.
Amy pissed, you turned me invisible. Amy Dude, roars a lot.
She smash cut to her biting the hand of Josh Brolin, who was not married to Babs. Babs was married to his father, James Brolin.
Okay.
Besides, he's getting down with Elizabeth Shue in this. He's fine. Don't worry about Josh Brolin. He's both Thanos and getting down with Elizabeth Shue. He's fine.
Fanfic time, Thanos getting it down with Elizabeth Shue.
You know what? She's probably almost 60 now. Fine. She's doing fine. Don't worry about Elizabeth Shue. See previous episode. Don't tell mom the babysitter's on the train. as Matt said in the last episode, she's in Cobra Kai right now and getting a dog of her cat for leaving Las Vegas.
Personally, I don't think we worry about any of these people. It's like they've got residual checks coming.
Oh, no. Even Joey Slotnick. And God bless him, he plays a pervert. So does Greg Grunberg. Because Greg Grunberg is living in a 1980s movie, so there's porno just everywhere in his cubicle, and you're just like, oh, Greg Grunberg, you and your pornography.
I bet
you're going to make it to the end of this movie.
So which one of those plays, you know, creep minor to Kevin Bacon's creep major?
So Slotnick is the guy with the blonde fro, and Joey Slotnick is. Greg Grunberg is the guy with brown hair who's kind of a chunk.
Okay, because I know one of them was kind of... Like, it was like the evil Kevin Bacon and him were kind of feeding off each other and all the perverted misuses of turning invisible.
That's Greg Grunberg. Anyway, so they try to bring... They've developed a new chemical. We know this with Deus Ex Sexual Predator because Kevin Bacon is up late trying to color... He's describing the color of ping pong balls on a 3D rendering of a series of ping pong balls, and he turns them orange, and then it says unstable, and he's so mad because it said it was unstable. And we're supposed to understand science here, and we do, because it turned orange and then said unstable.
That whole sequence is a character showing, not telling, because he's up at 4 in the morning, he leans back in his chair, he looks up, you should be working on the ceiling. And then his pretty neighbor comes in. He's leering at her through the window. So
yes,
a hard driving nut job and a pervert at the same time.
You mentioned Family Plot. There's totally a Rear Window scene with him watching a neighbor undress.
Yeah, and that's the Deus Ex pornography. Like that is him. Like, put a pin in, put a pin in Chekhov's pervert, because that's gonna come back at the beginning of the second act, or the beginning of the third act, kind of end of the second
middle
act.
Middle of the second act.
Yeah. But yeah, like Matt said, you know, I'm joking aside, but like we get his character in all of like 35 seconds, and then after like seeing this woman take her bra off, he has his epiphany makes it work. And so he calls up Elizabeth Shue at like 4 a.m. and says, I figured it out. We're going to like, you know, try to kill a gorilla.
Via Deuce X Bubina. Via year 2000 video call.
Yeah, this is a bunch of nonsense technology, which has never existed. Yeah.
And he sees she's with a man who isn't him, but doesn't know who it is, which will become an issue later.
Yes.
You know, I miss those old tropes in movies where it's like, to show that it's all high tech, they predicted Skype or whatever, and just what it looked like then and what it actually looks like is just so bad.
I'm stealing a joke from someone else. But he goes, the worst thing that happened with Obama becoming president is how can we tell it's the future now? We've actually had a black president. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That was 6 years ago.
That's right. I forget who that was. It might be Kevin Hart. I don't remember. But regardless. My brain stopped. Oh, so we get some like big dick energy. He like jumps into his convertible. He drives onto this abandoned military base, which I'm sure everything from the X-Files to Alien, like, it's been used as a, like a basement. It's probably in Doom.
Could you imagine this as an X-Files movie?
Better movie.
Yes, much.
You have the first act, and then everything else is happening in the background. Like that Roman gets raped and killed, and then Scully's like, I don't know how this happened, Mulder. And he's like, it could be an invisible man. She goes, and it could be a werewolf. And they start making out because it's after the movie. And so apparently they're just banging the whole time and we can't be bothered.
Gene Mulder, I don't think it's an invisible man. Those don't exist. Well, you don't know that, Scully. They might exist.
And he's just hitting the back walls.
Cut to them making out and you see like the shimmery predator effect. It's Kevin Bacon.
There's an extra penis here, Mulder. have not done that second X-Files movie, have we?
Do we need to?
I mean, it's an episode. If there's ever been an episode, because we did that first one, and we were so giddy at how good it was. Mark and I were leaving that theater sad. It was the first time my wife had ever seen anything X-Files. And she's Ooh. Like, what do you guys see in this? And I'm like, I don't know anymore.
I've never seen the movie.
Well, Lent is coming up.
What? Bad things.
You've never seen the second one?
No.
I haven't either. Lent is coming up. Don't you need to mortify your sin?
I am mortified already. I'm Catholic. I feel guilty even for mentioning it. Anyway.
He's got a Girl Scout cookie on his microphone there, ladies and gentlemen. And,
and he's erotically eating it off the microphone.
This is an ASMR video, and I'm about to unzip my pants.
Anyway, so they get there, and Amy Good Gorilla is about to be brought back to life. So,
well, she's about to be returned to visibility, which the best thing about this movie, the absolute best thing, are the effects.
I will say, it's 2000 special effects, so you want to make fun of it, but damn it, they commit. And at one point later, when Bacon's invisible, which you know Matt kind of alluded to, and becomes like this threat. To get him, they turn on the sprinkler system, and there's just a face in the water. And that shit, 21 years later, looks incredible.
Well, the best part of these scenes, in terms of the effects, is when they lay the gorilla on the mattress, and you can see the imprint of the animal.
And the straps straining at times as she struggles.
This got nominated for an Oscar.
It did, for effects.
It lost to Gladiator, and I think that was a mistake.
Yes, because Gladiator won Best Picture.
This committed more to the effects. It wouldn't work without its effects.
But they recreated Rome from scratch.
And CGI tigers.
Well, the tigers are fine, and I don't disagree with that. But when you're traveling down the Colosseum and you're filming in a soundstage, they're not in the Colosseum, they're filming all in a soundstage, the Colosseum looks incredible. So I'm with Matt on this one, I think. Hmm. I'm with Matt. I will say, though, we have not had a year with two movies that equally matched in a long time. It's usually like a Marvel movie and then maybe Seagal sometimes. Like, it's usually...
It just in terms of the effects and how... Yeah?
Anyway. So, Amy Good Gorilla is strapped to a table. And they're trying to bring her back. And she goes into cardiac arrest. And they're just shocking this ape, man. They're just... Clear!
That sounds like a euphemism. They're shocking the ape.
Shocking the ape, girl. And after two shocks of the ape, They're like, oh no, she's dead. No, wait.
We've got a pulse.
She's stabilizing.
Yeah, because they got this veterinarian with a pixie cut who beefs with evil Kevin Bacon constantly because he doesn't seem to care about the animals, and she cares a lot.
Yeah, the woman's name is Kim Dickens. she's in House of Sand and Fog. She's in Thank You for Smoking, which is an excellent movie.
She's in Gone Girl, which is an excellent movie.
Did you just say Dickens?
Yeah, her name is Kim Dickens. You don't need to make fun of someone's name. But she has, as Matt said, literally the worst haircut I've ever seen. Ever, ever.
Well, I remember when Anne Hesh had that haircut back in the late 90s.
Everyone had this haircut in the late 90s. That doesn't mean it's not terrible. It's like those people with the penis, the boys with the penis cuts, like the Jonathan Taylor Thomas on, you know what I'm talking about? The one where it's like parted down the middle and it's like poofy around the side.
Or, I haven't actually seen 16 Candles. Doesn't Long Duck Dong have that same haircut?
Pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
He effectively also has it in Gremlins 2, a previous episode. So Kim Dickens is the best damn veterinarian they could find, and she's mad that she just has to bring back semi-dead animals. And the whole thing is kind of like, let's cut it up. Let's vivisect it tomorrow.
This is a weird movie for Paul Verhoeven.
There's almost no boobs.
There's almost no boobs, and just usually the way he treats human bodies is not in like Basic Instinct or kind of in Showgirls, because there's so much nudity in that movie that by the end it's like, oh yeah, you're seeing her boobers again. Who cares?
Right.
But in this case, I don't know. I'm going to edit all that pause out. He wants women's bodies to be considered normal, which is fine, but they doesn't really emphasize that sort of view here at all. And he's more focused, I guess, on an invisible man and a piece of skinless bacon, as I know Matt's called it, which is interesting.
And
but
his skin on ass, too.
It doesn't feel like a Verhoeven movie. It feels like any number of people could have done this in the middle of the 2000s.
What could have made it feel more like a him movie is the more modern Invisible Man.
Yes.
And then there's more sexual terror, which is why I imagine on the cutting room floor there's a lot of the rape scene we alluded to, because not that Verhoeven necessarily deals in rape, but he's a lot about control and he's a lot about fear, and that sexual terror would have been in his kind of a movie, right?
We got a couple scenes like that here, but overall, it's just
like
not...
Like the world's most awkward CGI boob scene.
Yes.
At one point when... Well, we need to get to it, but yeah, we'll get to it.
Well, anyway, after they bring Amy Goodgorilla back to visibility, they go to the Pentagon, where they're updating the team that's financing them on their results.
And Devane, through the biggest teeth I've ever seen, goes, you know, when you were my student, I thought you were great. But we'll find another Sebastian Cain if you can't make this work.
And apparently they were a lot further along than he let them think, but he didn't tell them that because he thought they'd then take it from them, but they end up threatening to take it from them, so own goal?
Kind of. Yeah, it's not explained, and to Matt's point, Brolin and Shu are surprised he did this, but his argument is he wants to make sure when they test it on a person, they're still in control of the project. He doesn't tell them that at the time. He doesn't tell it until he's wearing his Regis Philbin suit and he's getting told off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason.
I mean, that's what he tells them, best I can grasp, because this movie feels to me like it was cut to ribbons.
Yeah.
There is, it's like an hour, it's 113 minutes, and apparently the director's cut is a nice tight 2 hours, and that 7 minutes might have made a lot of the difference, because there's a lot of cuts here where they're just like, bam, we're back at the thing. And I'm like, that conversation went on a little bit longer.
I don't think that the director's cut would have eliminated the cheese, but 7 minutes can still add a lot to your movie.
And to your point, for a movie that probably has like a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, it deserves that Academy Award nod. And actually, for how greasily Greg Grunberg is, I would have given him at least a Golden Globe.
nobody in this movie deserved a Golden Globe.
I'm shocked they got Kevin Bacon for this. I mean, he's their heat, right? Because, I mean, I like Elizabeth Shue, but by 2000, she was not a big star.
Was Kevin Bacon a big star in 2000?
Kevin Bacon is always Kevin Bacon.
When did they start doing that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing? I remember that when I was in high school.
The early 90s.
When were you in high school?
1999 through 2003.
This is 2000, baby. So that's then. I'm just saying, like, I'm sure Kevin Bacon still had cheap heat. But that means to me, other than the CGI budget, it was all him. Because these are all character actors, again, except for Elizabeth Shue. And I love Josh Brolin. But babyface Josh Brolin is not what I'm going to a Josh Brolin movie for. I'm going for him post-2010, where he sounds like not garbage, but he's got that voice. He's got that... He raises my T levels just talking.
Do you remember the Men in Black sequel where he was the new Tommy Lee Jones?
I do, and he's dry as toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, he's in. Isn't he the star of Stay Tuned, Jonah Hex?
Yes,
that
he
DC
is.
Movie?
Ooh, boy.
I mean... If DC puts out a decent... Oh, well, I mean, I don't know when this is going to come out, so you can remove this. It's already come out. No, it will have already come out. We're going to do Pattinson in...
The Batman?
Well, we're going to do a Twilight movie because he's in the Batman.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh,
because,
God.
You know what? Pattinson and Kristen Stewart can act.
No, they can't. Kristen Stewart sure as hell can't.
Academy Award nominee, Kristen Stewart, for Spencer.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
I'm going to say she can act.
One of the least impressive actresses playing one of the least impressive people in history. Bullshit.
And I like Pattinson. I think he's a perfectly fine actor. I thought the Lighthouse was excellent. Did you like The Lighthouse?
I just remember when he wrecked David Cronenberg's career with Cosmopolis.
I don't think Cosmopolis was his.
I remember he's the Hufflepuff who gets slagged.
He does in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He seemed all right in that.
I think he's fine. I think he's totally a fine actor dealing with a bad script in those Twilight movies, which is why we're going to do them, because to date, Twilight is our most downloaded episode.
Really?
It's been downloaded over 13,000 times.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and we shouldn't share our numbers, so you can delete that, but yes. It has been downloaded on iTunes alone over 8,000 times, and on Spotify it trended for a while, so we're doing just fine.
Well, let's go ahead and get the champagne out and pop that and declare us the victors.
So we're doing New Moon at some point, so that we can just watch Taylor Lautner heavy breathe for about 2 hours.
Oh, that guy's career is gone.
Well, let's hope he got some residuals from Twilight.
I'm sure he did.
Don't worry about Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, we're not going to worry about any of these people. But anyway, in this movie, Hollow Man, Kevin Bacon decides that what they need is a human test subject to really prove the effectiveness of their serum. And he volunteers himself because they've brought back multiple primates before, so it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, we're just primates.
I suppose better to experiment on yourself than some hobo you kidnap.
Yeah, I'd go with the hobo.
Well, it would have made less rape in this movie. Probably. I don't know. Depends on the hobo. We could have gotten a murderous hobo. Then it would have been Hobo with a Shotgun, but he's invisible.
Better movie.
Yeah, I don't remember him raping anybody, though.
In Hobo with a Shotgun?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it would have been a better movie.
He was the guy shooting the rapists. That was the whole point.
What was that Joaquin Phoenix movie that's like that? I was never even there. You were never even there. Where he's like a PTSD soldier and he's like saving children who are being trafficked and just murdering people.
I have not seen that movie.
I haven't either. I saw a trailer. I'm like, this probably is trying to say something. Oh, well, back to Cars 3. Anyway, so he's like, you know what's great? Human testing. And they're like, are you sure? And he's like, I told the government we were going to do it. And Josh Brolin glances at Elizabeth Shue, because glancing is the only way they tell the truth in this movie, until there's a murderous penis coming to kill them all. anyway, so he's sneaking around the lab, he's finally gets this. The procedure is successful, and Sebastian turns invisible.
After having a heart attack.
This is one of the best scenes in the movie of him turning invisible, because the way it works is, it's like by each layer of the human body, so... he loses his skin. It's like he's dissolving. his skin becomes invisible, so you just see his muscles and arteries, and then the muscles start turning invisible while he's screaming in absolute agony. So they're having to animate this figure seizing up and down, and then eventually there's just a skeleton laying there, and then that dissolves, and then that's all there is.
As it moves up the spine, it just starts writhing. It's incredible. And then, like you said, Matt, he has a coronary attack. And by the way, they were showing his heart rate go up, and I'm just like, my heart rate is higher than that right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the edge of my seat. but, like, yeah, and he's writhing, and he's, like, crashing, and they're like, he's afraid they're going to have a stroke. But yeah, like, he has a heart attack, and then they bring him back, and then he's winded, and he's out of it, and everything's too bright because he doesn't have eyelids. It's great. Like, yeah. I mean, they're thinking about it.
Here. That's one of the big things, though. If you were invisible, you can't see.
Yeah. I mean, and they get through a lot of it. There are some rules they have to break. It's like watching a time travel movie. Give me the rules, because otherwise all I'm going to see is plot holes. And you know what? If you tell me the rules, I just have to buy the fact, okay, these are the rules of this invisible man. He's an invisible man, and that's where we're going to be. But, you know, they give us the rules. Ah, it's so bright. I can't see. Turn the lights down. Fine, we're turning the lights down. Man, I'm like Nosferatu. I can't show up in a mirror. Isn't this silly? Look at me, like, giving you guys a hug. And but he tussles their hair, and you're just like, ooh.
They look at him through, like, heat thermal goggles.
Which, pause. If you have an invisible man, and you're afraid he might be murdering and or raping everyone, you're just wearing those things all the time. Now, in the beginning of the third act, when he's fully gone nuts, he starts to trick the goggles. Fine. But until that point, you're wearing those fuckers all the time. The second he's done, it's like, they take him off. Where did he go? You know what you're not going to see? An invisible man without the infrared goggles.
Well, yeah. Up until a certain point, he's gone bad, but they don't know it. They think he's still their friend who's kind of an asshole.
I always assumed this was just like the virtual boy, where if you wear them too long, you get a headache.
They should say that then. Although, you're right. That'd be great. Or they need to recharge, or there's a battery pack.
Yeah.
By the way, my favorite part, which happens at the wrong point, this movie loses 10 points automatically for the first person to die being the black woman.
Yes.
But
Janice, right?
Yeah, the actress is Mary Randall. She goes back, she's like, well, son of a gun, I forgot my goggles. And she turns around to go back to get them. That should matter more, because she's like, holy shit, if I don't have these, I can't see the invisible man. And then he just breaks her fucking neck. And you're just like, you can't kill the black person. There's one black person in the entire movie, and she's the first one, and she just gets her neck. Like.
And for some reason, we see her on the toilet earlier.
We do. And by the way, everyone's afraid that he's around and naked and just perving out, because they know him. By the way, if you are the employee that everyone thinks is a pervert, get a new job and stop being an asshole. Like, I'm sorry.
Well, he proves it later when he, like, unbuttons a colleague's blouse and starts playing with her nipple.
Which, by the way, that is what we're talking here. This is the CG boobiting. Can you imagine being like, all right, so this is awkward because I am Paul Verhoeven and I'm Dutch. So you are going to have to sit here topless while this CGI man renders your tit. Okay, so we're going to, because it has to be manipulated. So it's either going to be manipulated by a man wearing green gloves or by a computer. So sit still for the next 6 hours.
This was 2000. It was some man with green gloves.
That's
doing
right.
That.
Squeeze, and you're just like.
This is the man who's going to be working with you for this scene. His name is Greg.
His name is Hans, and these are his Hans. and by the way, and that's why.
And
that's
then his Hans start getting too cold. We bring in Franz.
That's right. And that's why Verhoeven is an auteur. Like, oh yes, that is how you CGI manipulate a tit. Great. Fantastic. Yeah, so Sebastian just grabs her tit for some reason.
Well, because he can. That's the whole point. Although,
why did you climb Everest? Because it's there. Why did you squeeze that tit, Sebastian? Because it's there. Wow. All right, So
after that is when they try and make Bacon visible again, with the same formula they used on Amy Good Gorilla, and it doesn't work.
Right. He's supposed to wait like 3 days or whatever for some reason. There's science reasons. They give us some science. And it's actually kind of a cool scene, like Sudsy was talking about earlier, because it's like he's coming back. All of a sudden there's a spike in his blood pressure and then a drop in his blood pressure, and it starts to fail. And they do whatever they can, because we forgot a scene and a half ago where it required an electric shock to work. But that will come back later. Meanwhile, he's furious. We learn at some point, for some reason, that as they are invisible longer, they become more aggressive. We don't really know why.
Well, we saw Amy Good Gorilla kill the rats. So,
we did,
yeah.
But we don't know why it's doing it. They don't try to explain it. It's just, fine, why not? It kind of happens in the book Invisible Man, so we assume they're going off the text.
Yeah.
Kind of. But like you said, he's becoming unstable. At one point, he turns the dog into pudding. Which
and this dog he was petting earlier.
Yes.
So, you know he's starting to go.
That happens a little later, doesn't it?
Yeah, at first he just, they put some latex on him, like I guess kind of like in the book The Invisible Man or the 30s movie.
With the bandages.
Right. And so he then wants to get out, so he just leaves the lab and starts scaring kids.
So something else we know about this workplace, we know that they get together at least once a month and they have a corporation movie night. And everyone gets together and they sit down and they watch a good old-fashioned movie and get some popcorn and have fun. And you know how we know this? Because 2 weeks before, someone watched the movie Speed. And that's how he escapes. Because thanks to stealing a circuit board, he wires it up. So there's just a picture of him sleeping naked on his bed. So...
Are you sure that wasn't the bus that couldn't slow down?
That's right. The Mexican non-union equivalent. The bus that couldn't slow down. Because... And I love when Elizabeth Shue figures it out because he hasn't screwed the cover back on. And she's like, takes out the circuit board and goes, son of a bitch. He figured it out.
Now, here was something interesting that I had forgotten about this movie. Does anybody here remember about David Manning? He was this guy Sony created that was essentially a fake film critic. So they'd fake reviews on their posters and attribute it to David Manning. This was a David Manning reviewed movie.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. What did David Manning say about this film?
Oh, boy. I forget. I think it was just something generic, like another winner.
Oh, God. Edge of your seat romp, an action pack. Oh, that's so funny. It's like when Trump pretended to be his own press secretary. His name was Mike Winter, or whatever he called himself.
The way that story ended, by the way, Sony made an out-of-court settlement and agreed to refund $5 each to dissatisfied customers who saw Hollow Man,
okay.
The Animal,
ooh.
The Patriot,
ooh, no.
A Knight's Tale, or Vertical Limit in American theaters as a result of Manning's reviews.
I'd say there are three of those that I would not take a review for. The other two I'd be with. I would take a review. I would take a refund for this movie and The Animal. Vertical Limit is not great, but I think I knew what I was getting into when I saw that. Patriot is totally a fine movie. No complaint. What was the fifth one?
A Knight's Tale.
I like Knight's Tale. Knight's Tale, fine. Knight's Tale is fine. It's not a great movie, but it's totally fine. It's totally a serviceable movie. Heath Ledger's in it. Paul Bettany. Some good young beefcake.
Wait,
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany as a Chaucer, wasn't he?
Yeah. And again, he's a beefcake, and he's half naked most of the movie, so I'm down. I'm down for beefcake Paul Bettany.
So is Jennifer Connelly.
Hell yeah, she is. So, yeah, okay. This is also when Sebastian, I think, breaks out of the place and watches Linda about to have sex, right, with Matt. And that gets him so mad he has to kill a dog, as you would, I guess.
This is where he, isn't he wearing thermal goggles to see the invisible dog and, like, slams it up against the kennel wall and you see the blood?
Infrared butchery.
Yeah, and the dog smells him walking by and keeps barking, 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 and he goes, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then we literally see him take the dog and smoosh it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this before or after he rapes his neighbor?
This, I believe, is before.
This is before, but that's what's next. Because what they then do is say, look, we don't know what's wrong, but we're going to make you look like a person. So they take essentially the kind of modeling goop that they use on actors to make masks with, right? And they make a latex mask. I mean, they cover his eyes. In a scene, by the way, which gives me the heebie-jeebies, is she cuts the eye holes out. So Elizabeth Shue gets these scissors and reaches in to his face mask, pulls it away from his eye, and cuts a little circle, which I'm just like, ah!
Yeah.
That's like the eye-cutting scene from that, is it Antonioni, where you have the razor coming to the eye?
Oh, that was Louis Benuel.
Benuel, yeah. Oh, God.
I scream, you scream. There's no scream like I scream.
By the way, I think Matt was correct. The scene where Bacon sexually assaults his neighbor is right before they pour the mask. And
I thought he was in the mask. I thought he was in his apartment in the mask.
Yeah, because he's wearing the mask and he's scared of the kids. And he goes to his apartment and sees a neighbor. And for just 1 second, you think he's going to make a good decision.
And then we see the mask as a pile on his desk.
That's right.
Because
yes.
He's like, no, 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 no. And he's like, why?
And then, by the way, Matt keeps saying scares the kids. What he does is he's driving his big dick convertible, and the kids are like making faces at him, and he pulls down his shades, and there's no eyes. It's a hall. And that's, again, an incredible effect. How often we see, like, he's looking forward, there are two eye holes, and we see through the fucking eye holes into the other side of the car. Yeah, great shot.
Yeah, he does. He bugs out his eyes and opens his mouth. There's nothing there, and the kid just starts screaming.
And the parents are like, you shut up or we're not going to Disney World.
That's it. Back to Winnipeg.
That's right. Mamma Mia, or whatever we're doing. And then he goes to his house, because apparently he just wants to check his email. And, oh, God, it's bra o'clock, because apparently the woman just gets undressed at the exact same time in front of an open window every day.
Why didn't Brian De Palma direct this movie if that was going to be one of the scenes in there?
Because Elizabeth Shue would have had to run in heels. And, you know, as Bryce Dallas Howard would tell you, it's very difficult when you're running from a dinosaur. You're right, though. Actually, he would have been a more logical choice for what this script is. I don't know. Maybe De Palma was busy masturbating that day.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Or telling George Lucas how to fix a scroll in one of the prequels.
It didn't work, Brian.
No, it didn't. And I like De Palma a lot. I rewatched Carrie recently. Mm. The original. Dude, the man can fucking direct a scene.
Have you ever seen that documentary that's just about his career?
Where he's complaining about... Where he's talking about movies he made and they were terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He's like, oh, that was a real piece of shit. And you're just like, oh, De Palma, to have a scotch with you.
Oh, Bonfire of the Vanities. Fuck that movie.
Yeah, he just gets so mad. Man's a hero. New Hollywood. The New Hollywood movement. God, he's... Just imagine him, Scorsese, and like... And Lucas doing a line of blow and complaining about Gleep Glops. That's what it must have been. Because again, you remember... Lucas, De Palma, Scorsese, Spielberg. All right, guys, this is my movie, THX 1138. You guys gotta tell me what it's like. And... You know, I mean, that's what they were doing.
Meanwhile, Coppola's back there just saying, I need $50 million in 1970 money for this vanity project.
We're going literally to Vietnam. Why? Because,
you know, George Lucas was supposed to direct Apocalypse Now.
But what if Sebulba was one of the snipers?
No, Sebulba would clearly have been Colonel Kurtz in that version. Actually, I'd picture more of a Jar Jar Binks, says Colonel Kurtz.
Ooh, you saw grocery store clerk here to collect bill.
Although I will say...
Misa, your Vietnamese god now!
If he had directed it, Harrison Ford would have been the Douglas role, instead of just there for 45 seconds at the very beginning. You would have swapped those two.
You mean the Martin Sheen role?
Oh, you're right. It's Sheen. It's not Douglas. Might have been a better movie. I do like Harrison Ford, but Sheen and Ford. It's close. In 70s, it's close. Anyway, on my top shelf, baby, 4K. And the 4K pack comes with Redux, the original, and the director's cut, all in 4K.
You know what? Fellow panelist Jeremy and myself saw the... most recent cut when that was in IMAX.
The director's cut, like 4 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I remember when Redux came out, and I saw it on a standard def DVD, and it was magical. And watching it in 4K, all 3 hours of it, whoo boy.
Yeah, I think I have that on DVD and never actually watched it. I got it from a used disc store in Atlanta somewhere.
Oh, the Apocalypse Now, just yeah. in general? Mm.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. Next time I watch it, I will have 2 bottles of Coppola wine, and because it's 4 hours long, you need yeah. a lot. You need strong drink, to quote Hunter S. We need strong drink.
Was Coppola wine strong drink?
Let's well, two be bottles here. Of it. 2 bottles of it is a fat guy feast.
Oh, there
and
you
by the
go.
Way, Marvel people, he's fine. He's totally right. It is a pure entertainment. We don't need to be mad at him like we were mad at Scorsese. They're right. Marvel movies are theme park rides. You can enjoy them. And I like Marvel movies too. But we don't need to be mad at Francis Ford Coppola for saying that this is an entertainment, not something to grow on. That's okay.
Yeah.
We're all fine. We're all fine. We're adults. And I don't need to be mad about this. Everyone's providing me entertainment. I enjoy it. Let's talk about a movie that I mildly enjoyed.
Yes, let's talk about The Nightmare where Elizabeth Shue dreams invisible Kevin Bacon sexually assaults her.
Yeah, which probably was a scene in the movie, and they're like, we got to take out one rape. Let's make this one
yeah.
a dream
which,
rape.
Yes, which that says something that, you know, she knows what he is, even before she knows that he's been doing what he's been doing.
Can you imagine thinking that, you know, my ex-boyfriend is probably actually raping people? Huh.
Yeah, because they have this whole discussion about why she's dating Josh Brolin and not him, and she said, you know, the idea of Kane is better than who he really is, you know, an anal retentive tyrannical nerd.
You know, I want the Starship Troopers cast in this instead of what we've got.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Casper Van Dien as Sebastian Kane. Dina Meyer as the Elizabeth Shue character. Neil Patrick Harris as the Josh Brolin character. Why not?
No. First of all, he's Joey Slotnick. He's the nerd in the booth
all the time.
Okay,
that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whoever the pilot was that was training Denise
Carmen?
Richards.
Not Denise Richards.
Denise Richards would be the Kim Dickens role, right? And yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I don't know. Actually, what we need is RoboCop in here. RoboCop is Josh Brolin.
Well, then Kevin Bacon's invisible dick is getting shot off.
Oh God, can you just imagine the scene where he's like kneeling, no, and he's just getting torn to shit as they're pulling him away?
The whole last third of the movie wouldn't work if it was RoboCop, because if he's not invisible, he's not a danger. He's just a dude with a crowbar. Yeah, invisible guy just beating on RoboCop with a crowbar, and RoboCop just grabs him by the balls and twists, and he's down.
There you go.
Better movie.
Better movie. Okay, we mentioned the rape scene. At this point, they go to the army. They go visit Willem Devane, and Willem Devane's like, well, son of a bitch. You know that the military is getting involved now, and you guys are in deep doo-doo.
Because they find out Kevin Bacon's been experimenting himself with this technology, and they're like, we didn't authorize that, and so they shut him down, and it was basically like, well, what do we do now? I'd pack your offices.
Yeah, and he's smoking the biggest pipe I've ever seen outside of a Sherlock Holmes movie, and he's like, well, I better go outside and check my pool. Nothing bad is going to happen. I love how the second anyone's done with a sentence, they forget they're in an Invisible Man movie. Right? Because what he should do is grab that old firearm, that old Colt he always keeps in the mail table. Because there's an Invisible Man that apparently has escaped, and no one seems that concerned about it. Because everyone should be like, we have released, like, the Predator. Literally the Predator. He is invisible. He is willing to rape people and may in fact have a nuclear weapon.
At the very least, it's, we've spent millions of dollars turning this guy invisible and he's gone away. We need him back. Protect our investment.
Oh, man. That's right. It should be Jack Lemmon being, oh, geez, man. We have a deposit. We're not going to get that back if we don't have him returned. He's just sweating.
Oh, poor Gil.
There's China Syndrome too, and his boss is still played by Wilford Brimley. He's like, God damn it.
Oh, God damn all.
Different Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, not Uncle Duvet. Although Uncle Duvet shows up, goddamn.
Uncle Duvet would kill the hell out of Kevin Bacon.
Oh, can you imagine?
Uncle Duvet can see Kevin Bacon.
You pencil neck son of a bitch. And he just picks him up by the balls, and you're just like, all right.
Better this, movie.
This movie's ending right quick. You are the first invisible man I've had to catch, goddamn it.
Pity you won't be able to see this on my trophy wall.
Oh, God.
Your head and your dick.
That's right. I cannot dance, but I can walk. And you're just like, all right, Duvet. Previous episode.
Don't spill
hard
the
target.
Don't spill the moonshine. It kill the grass.
That's right.
That's how he detects him. He sets the moonshine on fire.
Yeah.
Speaking of 4Ks you need to get.
Oh, hard target.
Arrow just came out with a 4K release.
It was Kino Lorber in this country, but yes. Oh,
ooh,
my God, that
baby.
Is amazing.
I no can walk, but I can. I no can dance, but I can walk. Dude, that is.
This is a tragedy. My flask has been pierced by an arrow.
Dude, what happened to all the guns I left you? I Gatorate them. Just like, what world?
What happened to Kevin, invisible Kevin Bacon? I Gatorate him.
There's just a dick. Just an invisible dick imprint in the grass. And that's the end. And they start playing the Invisible Hulk theme.
Man, I know he passed away a couple years ago, but if anybody wants to, like, do what they did with Peter Cushing in Rogue One and just CGI Wilford Brimley into every movie.
I just want him looking down at the end, like in Birth of a Nation, where Jesus gives a thumbs up at the end of the movie. Just like Wilford Brimley looking down, nodding at the end of a good movie. Yeah, that's how it should end. Yep.
Up here in heaven, there is no diabetes.
Oh, God. God rest his heavy soul. All right. So at this point, we're fucking hunting a naked man. And by the way, we keep joking about his dick. First of all, we see some grade A bacon cheeks throughout it. Like, we see his nice, beautiful ass. But then...
to be in his contract that it's like, okay, I have to show my ass at least once to the camera.
I'm like 45 years old, and my ass is spectacular. Thank you very much.
He's naked in this only slightly more than in the Friday the 13th movie we did.
Oh, fair enough. And then... Every time they render or unrender his body in 3D, the first thing that comes out is his dick. We have 3D penis, rendered penis, invisible penis, disappearing penis. We have every shim shade of penis from the special order menu at McDonald's you can imagine. And guess what?
I wish you'd stop saying penis so much.
Skinless bacon.
I mean, and sometimes we give it the special sauce. A little bit of bacon spice.
He's such a creep. He probably would want this special sauce involved.
I mean, and he is flip flapping throughout this entire movie, and it is amazing. And sometimes when he's invisible, they use like something to trap him. Like, they use a fire extinguisher at one point. They use water at some point. We of course have mentioned the Inviso goggles that use the heat signatures. And every time, one of the first things we notice is his penis. It's truly like we're using like a nudie code now, in a 98 video game. It's amazing.
Here's a weird thing about this. He is a naked man just running around, and they're like getting hot steam on him to make him visible, which is fine. But how is he not feeling that? Shouldn't that burn him?
Yeah, how is he picking up dudes and throwing them around? He's not any stronger. He's just invisible.
I cannot render mentally the fact that everything is flip-flapping in that breeze. The idea of picking up anything heavy naked just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Right?
At least there wasn't a folding chair involved.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Oh no, I have to sit down on a leather couch naked. Just like, everything is sticking to things that are sticking to other things. Whoo!
Rip.
I'm sweating so much that my sweat's making me visible.
Yeah, this is no Kroger Plus bacon, though. This is some elite, grass-fed, high-quality, grade-A bacon, though. Everything is lean. Anyway, so let's talk about them making everything.
Well, he cuts the comms to their lab. He starts killing members of his team.
Starting first with the black woman, like you mentioned before.
He impales the nerdy guy with a pole. At some point.
So many people getting speared on crowbars.
Right, and then he stabs Josh Brolin with that same pole and locks him and Shu in a freezer.
Which doesn't have an indoor opening handle, which freezers are supposed to. I mean, no OSHA compliance the movie.
That's right. Well, this reminded me of a Star Wars movie where there's no handrails or anything. I have a lawsuit, bitch.
But so, and you see how smart Elizabeth Shue is. She makes an electromagnet to unlock the door from the other side.
Yes. After it's so cold in there, and I have no idea how she's conscious, her tears start freezing.
Yeah, it's negative 30 degrees and she's wearing a t-shirt.
Personally, that was my favorite This Mortal Coil album, Their Tears Are Freezing.
That's right. Also, I mean, we glossed over it really quick, but Greg Grunberg gets one of the more brutal deaths of all time, where his head gets wanged against a jutting out pole.
Yes.
Dude, oh, and his head, like, right near his jaw, gets this huge gash, and they're like, holy shit, we need to do anything. He's bleeding out. And so they send Sarah Kenny, the veterinarian, Kim Dickens, and she has like 15 things of blood for some reason, because I guess she's a collector.
She's a collector.
Yes.
And so she's like, I have an idea on how I can see Kevin Bacon coming. I'm going to just waste all of this blood that my good buddy Greg Grunberg needs to see the footprints coming. And guess what? He comes from the one direction there isn't blood. So she wastes, say, 2 gallons of blood that Greg Grunberg desperately needs. His toes have gone pale. And he's like, guys, please. Oh, God.
Well, at the very least, she does manage to cover bacon and blood with that last pint she's got.
Which is something, until they let off the smoke alarms and it all rinses away. Whatever. So Kim Dickens dies, he breaks her fucking neck, like super kills her. And then, like you mentioned, we have, well
Bacon puts back on that latex mask in order to escape, and creates a bunch of nitroglycerin and sets the lab to explode, basically. It's some sort of device where...
it's a centrifuge.
Right.
Yeah, so he goes full anarchist cookbook here.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's already made a small bomb with sulfuric acid and something, something, something. They didn't give us the full recipe, so, you know, check the footnotes. And he blows up a fire, like, he essentially just blows up a corner of the room to set off the water so that he is something, something. I don't know. I don't know why he does it. He just does it. But the chemical works, and he's trying to blow up the whole lab. At this point, everyone else is dead because he's just gone through and killed them. And like you mentioned, he locks them in the freezer after gutting Josh Brolin with this.
He doesn't kill Josh Brolin, but Josh Brolin's like very seriously wounded.
Stabbed him through, right? It just happens to miss every possible organ somehow. He duct tapes himself together, but we're in a freezer, which is now at 30 below. So they're going to survive.
Might explain why he doesn't die, because it's everything's been slowed down by the cold.
They should have died from exposure, just being in a freezer.
Or at least slowed down at all. But as Matt said, she creates an electromagnet and kind of jimmies open the hatch. And they don't turn off the freezer, so it's still getting colder. But everyone's magically healed, kind of, because Josh Brolin's okay.
Doesn't she drag Josh Brolin out because he's passed out?
Yeah, but then he wakes up and he's just fine. Because they're about to climb up the elevator.
Well, first, Elizabeth Shue hits Bacon with a flamethrower.
Yeah, she toasts that bacon.
And you see bacon is fried.
By the way, he becomes visible because ash is coming off him.
Right. And by the way, the minute you turn a flamethrower on my scrotum, I've given up. You have won. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going home. I'm lying on whatever bed you tell me to. I am done.
This hurts him, by the way. They emphasize that in the movie. Well, I mean, like, when they hit him with hot steam, it was nothing. But then with the flamethrower, Bacon's, like, screaming in pain the entire time.
That's right. And we see him rendered screaming. He's a skeleton, kind of, sort of. At one point, too, he's kind of electrocuted, and his body starts to come back a little bit. It will come back even more at the end. We'll get there.
Well, Brolin comes back to try and fight Bacon, and... he takes another pull and tries to stab him again, but ends up hitting a power box, and that electrocutes him.
That's right. And when he's electrocuted, it does the thing that it does to Amy Good Gorilla, where she's electrocuted, and now the chemicals are working. And so he starts to come back. And so for the last, he's like, what is that, Attack on Titan, where it's the Skeleton Man?
Or Hellraiser.
Or Hellraiser, yeah. Future and previous episodes. We'll do the Henry Cavill one. Don't worry.
There's a Henry Cavill Hellraiser?
The third one with the video game. He's in that one.
Oh, that's not the third one, but I know which one you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, the fourth one, whatever it is. But yeah, anyway. So, at this point, we enter Elevator, the movie.
Yes, Elevator Shaft, the movie.
Yeah, so they're going up and down
the
elevator.
Who's the baddest mother? Shut your mouth. I'm just talking about Elevator.
We can dig it.
First of all, we're talking about Elevator Shaft. You can dig it. Yeah. So as they enter the elevator shaft, Olivia uses a flamethrower again. They fight. They're climbing. Oh my goodness, look how tall. Because apparently this is done in the core of the Earth.
This just came out a year after Deep Blue Sea, and it's the exact same ending.
Yeah. Mm. God, could you imagine if Samuel L. Jackson was at the end fighting for the Avengers Initiative like, son of a bitch.
I've had it with this motherfucking bacon in this motherfucking laboratory.
God damn it, another invisible man. I had two werewolves and an invisible man last week. And as they're climbing the ladder, another bomb explodes. And the bomb, it just... This is lazy shit. Because the fire from the bomb, it just stays there about three stories down for the entire rest of the movie.
And it keeps continuously replenishing.
Well, yeah. It's meant to be a visual reference, you see, because when they throw bacon into the fire, spoiler alert, the bad guy dies. It's him going to hell. It's all a symbol.
It is. It is.
No, it's lazy.
No, I mean, and as Matt mentioned, and I mentioned, and we all mentioned, the fire doesn't grow. It doesn't reduce. It's just a GIF. It's like there's a loading screen beneath Kevin Bacon trying to get to the credits.
It's a Dune background is what it is. Either Tim Allen or the Dune guy.
Maybe that's why you didn't see Wilson's face. Just like Doomman, it was just his mask. Huh? Anyway, at the top, there's a man with a throwing a oh my god, you're in shock blanket over, so we know everything's going to be okay.
Yep, there's a bit of a fight in the elevator shaft where they're climbing up they get out of the elevator and are climbing up a ladder, and then a freight elevator almost falls on them, and then Kevin Bacon shows up. They beat him, and he falls into the GIF fire, and then they're at the top.
Choosy GIFs.
And then there's a direct-to-video sequel.
Starring Christian Slater.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, into a fire, naked with your penis flapping into a fire pit. We established this, man.
At least in true Paul Verhoeven fashion, the movie knows when to end.
And it ends immediately. Like, they're practically throwing us, like, the shock blanket over the credits. Like,
well, it's just like RoboCop. It ends right after the bad guy dies, and
which is another 4K I just need to own. I love that movie. RoboCop
pre-order.
Oh, really? RoboCop, and they need to put out Starship Troopers in 4K because that'd be there yesterday.
Oh, it is.
Is it now?
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm getting for Christmas. Let's wrap her up, Matt.
I rather liked it. I didn't expect to like it. I did.
Okay.
The irony of this is it's so cheesy. Had this been, like, shot for $1 million and been on MST3K, I'd have thought it was a lot more charming because, like, they had a good idea. They just couldn't execute it. But in this case, they had Hollywood money behind them and spent all these millions of dollars on the effects, which are great, but the story's still so cheesy it almost doesn't matter. I don't know how to balance it, but the effects are great. If you're a special effects nerd, check this movie out. Otherwise, there's a bunch more Paul Verhoeven to check out.
I'm more with Matt than Daniel, though. I agree with literally everything Daniel said. This movie cost almost $100 million. It made $200 million, so it did okay. But, like, if you made it for cheaper, it would have been cheesier and better. But that being said, I have nothing wrong with it. I enjoyed watching it. Even if you want to see it, I would say you could see it as a what's it. It's one of the most bizarre, weird, unusual sci-fi movies because, like, no one's playing it for jokes. They're playing for keeps. Like, it reminds me a lot of another movie, which is a stay tuned, Sphere, where they're trapped in this weird underground world and there's weird shit happening and no one quite understands the science, but we're taking their word for it. But that is dull as dishwater. This just has a lot of penis. A lot more penis than you'd expect from a movie. I think it's totally fine. I'm with Matt. See it. Again, it's on Netflix. Like, nothing's stopping you from watching it. Give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is free.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's available, man. So take a gander. Anyway, we're out of time. We're done for Shoe-vember, or whatever month this is coming out. Elizabeth Shue is good in this. She's fine. So thanks for watching. Thanks for reviewing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing all the things you do to support us. If you're not on the Patreon, join the Patreon. If you are on the Patreon, thank you. And consider joining and getting other people to join the Patreon so we keep doing the Patreon, because Patreon, 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 Patreon.
I think you've got enough keywords now.
That's right. Anyway, guys, we're out of time. So thanks. All right, let's do one this time where I'm recording.
Oh, okay.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Coxey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Sir Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.